Hi, I'm Elise.
I'm Matt, and welcome to Pod Rapes, a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we're two friends watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine and sharing both our deep and irreverent thoughts on our favorite Star Trek series.
This week, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 12, The Alternate, teleplay by Bill Dial and directed by David Carson. This episode aired on January 9th, 1994.
This week on Deep Space Nine, the Bajoran scientist who used to be Odo's teacher, or surrogate father, arrives with evidence of others of Odo's kind.
My first thought about this episode is, oh, we finally get to see where Odo modeled his horrible hairstyle from.
Yeah. So at least they were consistent that way, because that was established previously, and it's kind of interesting. I know we were talking about this as we were kind of doing the notes and talking about the episode this week in anticipation of our recording, but Memory Alpha outlines that Rene Bergeron, who plays Odo, was actually originally intended to play Dr. Mora himself out of prosthetics, out of the makeup, like had been established with Dr. Soon, Data's creator on TNG, who was played by Brett Spiner, and then later on Voyager, Robert Picardo ends up playing Dr. Zimmerman, who created the EMH.
I actually just watched that episode this week, so it was very timely.
Yeah, but they started doing the calculations and the increased length of production, basically, that would need to be required to have Rene play two roles, both in and out of prosthetics, and it would have doubled the production time of the episode from the usual, like, 7 to 10 days to, like, 14-ish, so they didn't.
It would have been in and out of two separate sets of prosthetics, like, so it totally would have been, I can only
imagine. I guess.
I truly think that Robert Picardo and Brett Spiner work as the creators in those two other series, but I think that this works better as a different with a different actor because of all of the parental comments, which we are definitely going to get to throughout this episode. I just feel with all the emotional things happening, and the fact that they worked together so closely previous to Deep Space Nine, it would have been funny in a not like it wouldn't have worked for me if it was Rene. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have done a good job, but I think the emotional beats wouldn't have landed if it was the same actor playing two different roles.
Yeah, and like I think too, like it's different when you're playing those emotional scenes off like another actor versus like playing it off yourself and then having to do the like, you know, composite Parent Trap Hayley Mills wizardry to have them appear like in the same scene and things like that, right? So like
I'm just laughing because that's not the first time the Parent Trap has come up on our podcast. Sorry.
Let's get together, yeah. You and me, the twine's combined. Okay. Well, of course. It wouldn't be pod race if
we weren't doing physical things. or do physical things.
Great podcasting. Great podcasting.
One thing that kind of stuck out to me in this episode is that everyone, including Dr. Mora, is talking to Odo about Dr. Mora as if he's Odo's dad. And Odo does not feel this way about Dr. Mora, or at least I think he reacts to Dr. Mora as if he's his dad, but he doesn't feel that he feels this way, if that makes sense. Like the way he reacts to the things that Dr. Mora says to him are very parental child to me, but he keeps saying throughout the episode that he's not his dad, and which makes those interactions a little bit uncomfortable for me, which I think is intended. So, like the scene where Dr. Mora is like, oh, you haven't quite gotten those ears, like that felt like a deep cut from like a parent criticizing you. Oh, don't worry, it's hard. Like it almost feels like, kind of like, is that what negging is? I always forget when, like, the something where they, you said, sounds like you're someone's like complimenting you, but they're really not. Like, I don't think it fits fully for negging, but, like, it's like, oh, that's okay, little guy. You can get it next time. Like, it just feels very parent. And the way that Dr. Moore is constantly talking about Odo's social interactions throughout the episode, like, he's, like, a proud dad that he's getting along with everyone. And Odo is like, the whole time, I do not want to be having these conversations with you.
Yeah, and I think ultimately where this episode has that kind of parental feeling to it and whatever, regardless of, you know, I don't even know how Odo's species recreates, right? Neither does Odo. So maybe he doesn't even have parents and kind of this right. sense of that we're kind of thinking about kind of this guardian role. And like, but ultimately, like, Odo is negotiating boundaries with a parental type or surrogate guardian / parental figure, and that figure is then also, I think, trying to not necessarily, they end up negotiating boundaries in the end, spoiler alert, but like in like navigating that, and right. like that rung very, very true for me in terms of, like, you know, when you can try to redefine your relationship with, like, a parent or a guardian, or, you know, whether it's biological, surrogate, chosen family, adopted, whatever, as, like, an adult, and what that kind of goes through. So, like, yeah, it's, I agree with you that the uncomfortable nature of it is intentional, but, like, I don't think the reading or the necessarily assumption of it, of him being like a parental figure, even like with Quark, when Dr. Moore is first introduced, is totally off the mark.
I think part of it for me also is when Dr. Moore is talking to Dax, first when they are on the runabout, and then later when they're trying to investigate what's going on. Dr. Moore is telling Dax, like, these stories about working with Odo and, like, how far he's come along. And it just felt to me very much like a parent who...
Oh, totally.
...is, like, kind of bragging about their kid, but also, like, the first time it's literally in front of the kid. So it's, like, very embarrassing dad shit to me. Although, thankfully, my parents do not act this way.
Yeah, and, like, I think Dr. Moore obviously views the scientific discovery of Odo, and then, like, you know, helping Odo figure out, you know, how to shapeshift and things like mm-hmm. this. It's one of his greatest professional and personal successes of his career.
It's his baby.
Yeah, right? And then having that kind of ownership of that success, even though it was, you know, achieved together. Like, it is very parental. And then Odo's like, well, no, my successes because I've done the work. And I mean,
yeah.
I don't think Odo's been to therapy, but everyone should go to therapy, including Odo. But he's like, I didn't, like, you, like, basically prodded me and, like, you know, I can't remember if it's in this episode or in, like, a future episode where, like, some of the things that Dr. Moore did to Odo to, you know, encourage him and help him to grow and things like that weren't super pleasant. And right. I think that's why Odo's titular alternate, or what I kind of, like, I don't know if it's a representative of his subconscious, or, like, I think I call it in the notes later, Odo's shadow self, the creature from the gas that's found on the planet in the right. Delta Quadrant.
It's funny. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The way that you described, you know, the future episode or whenever we find out that Dr. Moore did, like, some not great things to him, it totally reminded me. And I don't think that I think you've kind of implied on the internet that you were not sure what this was all about. But it reminded me of the cat jorts that's been the meme that, like, the last couple weeks. Because this woman was, like, trying to get the cat to like figure out how to open the door by open a door by himself, and like would close the door on him, and like, or he would, the cat would close the door on himself and get locked in a room, and she'd be like, oh, it'll never learn to open the door. It's like a fucking cat, like let the fucking cat out of the room. Anyway, sorry, shorts, love it.
Well, okay, here's the basic thing. Dr. Mora is Bean Dad.
Oh, totally.
We're talking viral stories and whatever. but I think you can see that, like, even if it's not, you know, super textual, the Bean Dad moment of this episode, and it comes out later, Odo lashing out at the other kind of, you know, cousin or the other life form that they find in the Delta Quadrant.
Mm-hmm. Odo Jr., as I like to call it.
Yeah, trying to free Odo Jr. from the lab. That also makes kind of textual that, like, Odo didn't have the best time in his lab experience.
Yeah. One thing that really bothers me in this episode is the fact that everyone kept referring to the Odo Jr. and even Odo at times as it or the creature or this thing, which makes me feel like Odo only gets agency and such because he shows himself to be a humanoid. Like, if he didn't form into what we know and love or hate, whatever you feel about Odo, like, they'd be calling Odo it also. Like, I just, that rubbed me the wrong way. Because, like, you know it was the same species as your buddy, so you're going to start calling it? Like, I just called it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and, like, I think ultimately, this is, like, spoiler alert, this was my candidate for the most Star Trek thing of the episode, and it had...
thing, pun intended or not intended?
What pun?
Oh, like, Star Trek thing. They called Odo's...
Oh, yeah, no, it was... sorry. Pun definitely unintended.
I was pulling it, because it has apologies.
No worries. It definitely had shades of, like, early The Next Generation with Data, and Data having to prove, you know, his own sentience and the right that he's, like, not property in Measure of a Man, right. Or
the was that in one of the season 2 episodes? I feel like with my love to hater Dr. Pulaski, who I eventually come around on, but, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially, like, you know, even, like, with some of that early antagonism that Pulaski has with Data, or, and I won't hit this too hard, because I know you're just watching season 7 of Voyager for the first time, right. But there's an episode with the Doctor in, like, season 7 that encounters a lot of the same things, so it's, like, we have this non-humanoid, you know, outsider kind of character, mm-hmm. that basically has to prove, or is proven, that they're, you know, a person, an individual, based on how they relate to the other life forms like them, or by acting more of the other life forms like them. And then this other Odo Jr., as it were, like, is in the same gelatinous state that Odo was discovered in, and they know Odo is, you know, a sentient person, so mm-hmm. like, why are they treating Odo Jr. as different? But then again, is it like, and we don't know enough about shapeshifters, it's like, at that stage, when basically, and we don't have to belabor this point too much, but now I'm just wondering how shapeshifters procreate.
I don't know that in my headcanon of what we've watched so far, like, okay, this is terrible. I feel like just like a piece of you would come off and it would be like something else. Like, you could just, like, you know, come a little and then that becomes another Odo or something. Which means that you don't actually need another being to procreate.
Okay, well, I think they're like...
This is all, like, made-up nonsense. This is not actually what
I mean, that's Star Trek in general, right? Yeah. But no, but I think we have, like, kind of, like, two things going on, like, right? So we have Odo Jr., who's freed, and then Miles ends up finding tragically passed away in the one conduit. Yeah. But then when we have the titular alternate, or what I like to call Odo's Shadow Self, the other creature, if you will.
I would say I always felt it looked like it. I keep saying it. This fucking episode ruined me. I felt like the other Odo looked like a cloak. So it was very like a mysterious being. So I like that.
Yeah, very like, much so.
I like your description.
But yeah, so like Odo's like Shadow Self. When he leaves, like, the evidence, when, you know, obviously it gets the sample after he attacks the infirmary, and, like, a part of him is left there. I was like, is that the changeling equivalent of, like, you know, us leaving dead skin cells, or, like, you know, our finger, right. Like, cutting our fingernails or whatever, where, like, it has the same, like, DNA traces, but it's not, like... Odo is like a centimeter shorter because like part of Odo is missing. I don't know.
I just thought of the scene in The Sopranos when they're in Italy and the woman that they're staying with like burns her toenails. I just like totally made me think of that. You wouldn't want anyone like getting a PCU.
Pieces of me. And yeah, I guess the other thing too that I wanted kind of from the prologue or the intro is like I wonder if Odo really does have a thing for the death rituals of various cultures, because if he actually does, that's like low-key goth as fuck and I love it, and admittedly I have a dance macabre tattoo, so you know this... I'm like predisposed to like be into that shit.
So like this is the second time that Odo has mentioned buying a piece of Quark dead body, so I'm making an eyes emoji at you right now because that is, you know, that's my quoto moment of the episode. There was another scene that had nothing really to do with the plot of this episode that really I found annoying. The scene where Dax asks Julian if he wants to get Erectogeno, and immediately Julian's like, my quarters are yours, wink wink. Like, I'm very ready to be over and done with this Julian hitting on her every 5 seconds bit. I think he's completely misreading the situation. She is not enjoying turning him down. I think she's just being honest with him. And he like legitimately thinks that as soon as he's done flirting with her, she's gonna come around. That is the most like incel shit I ever heard of. I don't like it. And it made me want to barf.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob. And, like, I know, like, functionally from, like, a script and, like, story structure right. standpoint, that that's in there and it hangs with Julian, like, after that scene ending as an excuse to have him still be in sick right. day for when Odo's Shadow Self attacks. But, like... could have just done something else where he's like, oh, I have to, like, finish up these notes. Sorry. Right. Like, the show just thinks it's this really charming character bit, and it's
yeah, it's really not. And it's so funny, because in my notes later, I legitimately was like, I almost feel like the Shadow Self was like, fuck you for that scene I just watched. I'm going to attack you. On a lighter note, I was watching this episode with my friend AJ earlier in the week. Sometimes I watch the episode with him before I like do my notes part, and we got into a discussion on whether there would be like decaf Erectogeno, because this is like a late hour, so like I don't like to have coffee after like a certain amount of time, but we concluded that Klingons would find absolutely no honor in decaf Erectogeno. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel like Klingons just drink
they go
Erectogeno
full until throttle, they switch to blood full
wine.
Throttle
until they drink Erectogeno. Switch to blood wine. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I think that leaves us with the main plot of the episode.
Yeah, which like we've kind of
covered. I mean,
covered already, but like,
I just wanted to add, because, like, the TLDR is Dr. Mora shows up and wants to go into the Gamma Quadrant. Sorry. Dr. Mora shows up and wants to go into the Gamma Quadrant to look into something that he thinks is related to Odo's existence. And Dax joins them. And this other guy who I just have declared in my headcanon is Dr. Mora's postdoctorate student. or fellow, if you will. And then they find Odo Jr. and weird shit happens when they get transport that statue thing. But I really felt in those moments that some sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark shit was gonna happen, where like the whole planet starts shaking and I'm like, where's the big ball that's gonna come run them over? So that kind of gave me like Raiders of the Lost Ark vibes. And as my friend AJ said, this is why you don't steal things from other planets and other cultures. What did you think about the scene with O'Brien climbing through the station and finding the goop? Like, I was very eye-rolly at the don't tell my wife what I'm up to. But also, like, the goop was, like, really gross-looking to me. So I was a little gaggy.
First off, I'm going to call you out on calling the body of Odo Jr. goop. Here you are, upset that the cast of Deep Space Nine is othering Odo Jr. and you just called them goop.
It looked like goop. I'm sorry. I am not in the world of Star Trek, so I can say whatever I want about these characters. No, you're totally right. And I keep saying the things that I'm mad about. Oh, I know it's fine. I'm just
teasing you.
I know. I'm not upset. But you're right. But yeah, I was kind of. It looked like really bad goop. Like it looked like warmed, darkened Vaseline or something. I don't know.
Just like horrible. Something from like Nickelodeon when they'd like slime people on their own.
I did when I was at summer camp. Excuse me. One year we had like Double Dare come and like. Do a show at our day camp, and I had gotten picked to be part of the I like always my airy self always volunteered to be like in the show, and they cracked an egg in my hair and it was really gross.
It does sound gross,
but also it like my hair was real nice afterwards, so I think it was like a good thing once I washed it.
Well,
just saying.
I encourage you to try it again and crack an egg over your hair later today before you shower and wash it. How did I feel about the O'Brien monologuing bit? I don't know. It was kind of fun. I didn't like, you know.
I did enjoy him just talking to himself. Like, he was talking to them, but they were not responding. So that was kind of very, like, I could see myself doing that. Like, just having a conversation with someone, but knowing they're not actually listening and I'm just really talking to myself. Like, that happens to me quite often, I think. Real quick, I just want to point out that I did feel like Dr. Morrow was, like, psychoanalyzing Odo without his permission throughout this entire episode, and I didn't appreciate that. He would, like, it. I know we had talked about this already, but I brought it up now because this is when he was like, oh, you've really socialized yourself. It just sounded like how you would, like, interact with, like, a dog. Like, oh, that dog doesn't go to the bathroom in the house anymore. What a great dog. Like, it just was very, it was very dehumanizing to me. But yes. So, after seeing Odo do some police work, Dr. Mora is like, the scientific method and the police method have a lot in common, and I could speak about how wrong this is in our society for about an hour or more, but I won't. And do not get me wrong, I do think that there can be human bias in science, of course, but police are pretty much known for being biased and judgmental, and I think that when the police often find I use the word cause in quotations, cause of whatever they think happened that seems too good to be true, they don't always go and look for another reason for something to happen. So I felt very much thrown off by that line in the episode.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree, period, stop, end of sentence. But, like, I was also able
everything
to,
you
like,
say before, but, like.
I'm just teasing. It's like that Ned Stark line of, like, you know.
Yeah. Whatever.
You don't mean anything you say before, but I do. Yes.
That's what I was referencing.
But taking the episode on its own terms and like putting myself in like fantasy liberal Star Trek land, I can kind of thematically get behind it, especially if we're talking about like investigative method and like deduction, like as an example of what Conan Doyle does, like with Sherlock Holmes, right? Or again, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Unnecessary Evil, our last Odo episode. We went on, or all, I went on at length, excuse me, about, you know, noir, and a lot of times it's it being like a private detective outside the system because the system is corrupt, but they're still doing that investigating and that detecting and deducting and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so if, like, I can use that lens and appreciate what the episode's going for, like, I can get behind it. Especially as in the way when I read it, when we're talking about some of these like daddy issues, came into this world Moira's little goop, out of me, ooh, because it illustrates how our parents, even if there's like a strained relationship and, you know, we're not living the lives they saw for us, we're not helping them discover new things in the lab, we're out being, you know, constables, security officers, and things like that, that they can still inform our interests and our values, and the values that they instill in us when, you know, we're young and being raised, or, you know, learning how to shapeshift from our liquid states to you know, more humanoid appearing form, that
more
like
liquid states,
yeah,
that, when we're that, just those, sperm
there are those like those values and mores that they like instill in us, we can still, we're still listening, and we still, those still have impacts on us and are still powerful, and we can live our own expression of them even if it's not what our parents, when they were teaching them to us, had in mind and their plan for our lives, right? Like, so it still matters, and we can still like internalize those lessons we've learned, but we're able to find our own expressions of them. And I think in Moira saying that is like, and again, in his own way, as they negotiate, you know, these new boundaries, where it's clear that Moira still wants a relationship with Odo, he's trying to find some common ground there. And like, so like, yeah, I do agree with you. Thematically, though, I wasn't as hung up on the real word inaccuracies of his statement as That's much fair. As I was able to like get behind the thematic ones.
That's fair. I just want to add that when we're done, I'm going to listen to my vinyl of Lemonade.
Nice.
I think when Dr. Mora said the sample is from you, when they were after the attacks and such, the first time I watched the episode, I was very confused about whether it was like saying Odo Jr. is really Odo Jr. or that Odo was like at fault for everything. But then I realized, I kind of realized that they meant like Odo was doing this without these things without realizing.
Yeah.
But it is kind of interesting. Like, they kind of described Odo Jr. as almost like a cousin, I guess, to Odo, is how they, like, when they did their DNA or whatever. But yeah, like, and you mentioned this earlier, like, what happens really when you are a shapeshifter and a piece of you falls off? Like, you know, there could be many different explanations for that. One thing I didn't like about this, because, like, Dr. Moore is basically saying, like, yeah, you're doing all of this. And then he does this thing where he's like, oh, are there other crimes on Deep Space Nine that aren't solved? Implying that Odo is this, like, night terror kind of character for the last year and a half. As opposed to what we learn is that the gas that he was exposed to on the planet is kind of making him have this shadow self. So, like, the fact that he was just trying to make Odo feel as if he is this horrible person, and that they're going to want to isolate him when they find out who the real Odo is. It felt very much to me like was scaring him into coming back to work for him, saying, I'm the only one that understands you. Dr. Mora doesn't know that we've seen Odo trust Sisko and Kira a lot. So Dr. Mora really doesn't know what he's talking about here. Odo has friends on this station, even if, like Dax says, he keeps to himself a little bit. We do see him have a relationship with Quark, even though that's kind of an antagonistic one. But I do think that there's a really good big trust between Odo and Sisko and Odo and Kira. I just felt this whole manipulation that Dr. Mora is trying to throw at Odo doesn't work, even though it kind of did work and make him angry. And it was very like, I did so much for you, you owe me this now. And it just, this parental guilt trip was so hard to watch for me. Because Odo didn't ask for any of that. He didn't ask for Dr. Mora to do anything for him.
From Moira's perspective, knowing Odo, or, you know, that Odo's shadow self is like the monster of the week, I still think Moira is trying to do what he thinks is best for Odo, like a parent, and I think it's inherently flawed because he's removing some of Odo's agency, as sometimes I think parents subconsciously are wont to do, and, you know, they feel like they know what's best for their adult children, because they used to know what was best for us when we weren't adults, right? But I do think he does, in his own flawed way, care for Odo. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to Odo straight away to say, hey, I think I know what's going on here, and it's your regeneration cycle, and different things like that. Otherwise, he would have just told Dax right away, right?
Yeah.
When he, like, recognized it. So, like, again, I agree with you. It's just I am a little, I want to say I'm sympathetic to Dr. Mora, but I appreciate where he's coming from a bit more, even if it is not something I like would necessarily agree with. And I do think he is still inflicting psychological damage on someone he ostensibly cares about.
Which is why I feel very, like, I don't really feel empathy towards him. Like, I don't, that's not right. That's not right. I have empathy towards many people. That's why I don't really feel sad about Dr. Mora. Like, I just, his manipulations bother me so much that I'm just, like, not giving him a pass. And that might be my own thing, but I just, like, I can't.
No, and I think that's right. I don't think I'm giving him a pass
either. I didn't mean to imply that. I just, I just can't separate it for myself.
Yeah, I just think where, like, I'm coming from is that kind of place of acceptance and realization, and I think it's not giving a pass. It's more like, okay, this is, like, calling it as what it is, and I think that recognition of it, of which, is, like, the first step to negotiating and confirming what Odo's boundaries are for that relationship, and, like, ultimately for Odo to heal some of his family of origin experiences.
I get you. So there is something that happens in this episode that has haunted me since the first time that I've watched it, and I didn't remember when it was coming. So I was kind of horrified to see what Odo looked like when he starts to lose control and he gets all sweaty and icky. That was like the ultimate "you wouldn't like me when I'm angry" moment for me, because he just basically, to me, Odo looks like peanut butter. Which I'm allergic to, so, like, that's an added layer to how, like, gross it looked to me. And, like, I'm someone who will watch the bloodiest fucking shit ever, but for some reason, like, Odo looking like he has peanut butter on his face is, like, the things that my nightmares are made of. And I am glad to be past having to see that scene. I don't have to watch it again. I don't know why that scene bothered me so much. Like, I'm not... I think I'm fine with, like, violent things or blood or even guts, but there's something about goop or gooey-looking things that really just... I can't handle it.
It's sticky.
Yeah. I don't... Yeah. It's the same. Yeah, I don't like things that are sticky. I'm a chronic hand washer when I have, like, if I get food on myself, I don't like it. I don't like it. I like to be clean.
Yeah, I don't like being sticky either. That's a sensation I do not enjoy.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it. Like, if I have, like, jelly or something like that, I, like, will wash my hands, like, immediately, even before I have whatever sandwich or toast. Like, if I got, it's just, ugh. And I like jelly. I just, yeah, anyway.
I think another, like, this isn't my final candidate for most Star Trek thing. We talked about that kind of the whole main character being othered at times because they're not like human, right, in their quotes. But the idea of weird alien gas turns character into the monster of the week feels very TOS to me.
Oh, yeah.
Feels very Star Trek the original series.
That's fair. So, along what I was saying in the opening, how there was, like, a lot of, like, techno babble in this episode and science shit that I, like, wasn't trying to understand. Basically, some science shit in the volcanic gas is what makes Odo go crazy. And after that, they come up with this whole idea to, like, trap him. And that involves my most Star Trek thing, which I'll say later. But, like... The fact that they're, like, gonna use Dr. Mora as, like, bait is, like, very silly. Like, he goes on this whole tirade. Tirade's probably not the right word. This whole lecture to Kira and Sisko and Julian and everybody about how Odo recognized him even though he was in this volcanic gas state and doing violence. But then, so he tries to humanize him with one hand, and then the other hand, he keeps still calling him it or that creature. So, like, it just really, you can't have it both ways. Either this is a human, you can humanize this being, or it's an it. Like, I just don't like the, having both of those things in the same paragraph, really. Like, if Odo is kind of in some way aware of who Dr. Mora is, like, their part of him is still in there.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Odo is okay at the end. I loved at the end when Julian was like, you should rest, because a doctor's never been wrong to tell someone that. He, like, had no idea, like, what he really was just like, yeah, Dr. Mora did some shit and now you're okay now, rest up, bud. I found that to be very funny, like, Julian just like, oh, I was gonna say maybe he was still scared of him from when he attacked him earlier. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say if Odo ate food, Julian would have said, here's an apple.
100%. Was there anything else you wanted to discuss about the main plot or anything before we get into our regular scheduled segments?
Yeah, I just want to know, did you remember this episode from the first time you watched it or no?
I didn't until the scene where Odo looked like peanut butter.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
That's a lot of Odo scenes.
But it was like, this is the one that scarred me for life, I think.
It was your own growing up in a lab experience. Got it.
They poked and prodded me with peanut butter Odo.
I'm just gonna leave that one hanging there.
Fair.
All right, Elise. Well, I don't know about you, but we've been talking for a while now, and I'm feeling pretty parched, so I could use a thirst quencher. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely. I finished my coffee before we started and have not had anything to drink since, so I'm pretty thirsty.
I should probably grab some Altair water. So who are you thirst quenching for this week?
I just need to preface this by saying I'm sorry, Dax, for sexualizing you in this moment, But when Dax said I had to sneak out of my quarters in a hospital gown that wouldn't close in the back, that sounded adorable. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't have minded seeing that. But, like, she's in a vulnerable state, so, like, I feel a little guilty about it. It was just, like, her phrasing of it, which I really enjoyed.
Did you have?
Did you have any? Was it the peanut butter?
Yeah, no, it was not the peanut butter. I didn't really have one.
That's fair. I was definitely grasping at straws for mine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And yeah, in terms of most Star Trek thing, we've already talked about it as far as my candidate. It's like the whole idea of one of our main cast being kind of a non-humanoid or not, like, you know, a usual typical Homo sapien adjacent alien. So they're being kind of othered by that. What about you? What was your candidate for most Star Trek thing?
Well, I have a most Star Trek thing, and then I kind of have, like, a little separate most DS9 thing, but I'll say the Star Trek one first. The fact that they reversed the polarity on the energy fields to create a force field to capture Odo at the end, I don't know what any of this shit means, but reversing the polarity of something is a very Star Trek thing, and it gets used all the time. I think I will try to die not knowing what reversing the polarity means. If I was going to learn it, it would probably be in my RPG, because, like, we definitely joke about that in there. My most, like, Deep Space Nine thing was that at the beginning when Quark is trying to sell pieces of Plague, which we find out Plague is alive, he says that the Ferengi seal of dismemberment is on the can. Like, just the fact that there was, like, a Ferengi seal of dismemberment just, like, feels very Deep Space Nine to just make up, like, a Ferengi rule, like another council, if you will. I bet there's, like, a council of dismemberment that has the seal. Like, that just made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, I still want to know who, if it wasn't Peg, who's Plague. Dismembered, or, yeah, sorry, whose dismembered features was Quark selling?
I wonder if there was, like, yeah, maybe it was, like, a fabrication, and then it wasn't, like, a secret person to make it less creepy. But I also feel sad for if it is a real Ferengi that died, because then the people that love that person don't get to buy his dismembered pieces.
Well, Elise, until next time, where can folks find more of you on the internet?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Elise_Tendi, ELYSE_TENDI. And you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd as well at Mattyhugh, MattyHugh. You can catch us on Twitter and Instagram together at PodRace. And you can also email us at podrace@gmail.com.
Please remember to rate and review us on the podcatching system of your choice. And again, thank you to DJ Empirical for our interstellar theme song.
And until next time, computer, end of program.
Bye.